Welcome to RCGP Scotland Presents Generally Speaking. In this, the 14th episode of the podcast, RCGP Scotland Chair Dr. Chris Provan is joined by Dr. Callum Leese, the College's Physical Activity and Lifestyle Champion, to discuss the benefits of physical activity in Scotland's Summer of Sport.
So, welcome. It's Chris Provan here, Chair of Royal College of General Practitioners in Scotland. Great to welcome you to another of our Generally Speaking podcasts. Delighted today to have Callum with me. Callum Leese. We're going to talk about exercise and its benefits and those types of things. So thank you very much, Callum, for joining us. Do you want to just introduce yourself? Tell us a bit about yourself, please.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. First of all, thanks so much for having me. It's a real pleasure to be on. I'm a GP up in Aberfeldy in Kinlochranach. So I do 2 days or 4 sessions a week clinically. And then the rest of my week is spent across a few different roles. But one, I'm a physical activity researcher at the University of Dundee. And then the other part is I work for the Royal College of GPs down in London alongside a kind of enigmatic colleague of mine, Hussein Al-Zubaydi, and together we're the champions of physical activity and lifestyle. Champion's not a word I would have chosen, but it was what I was given, so I'll take it.
Well, I mean, good for you, actually, because it's important that we highlight exercise. I certainly find myself and with patients that it's really important. And we've got the Commonwealth Games coming up in Glasgow, which is great this year. How does that present us with an opportunity, do you think, Callum, to promote active lifestyle?
Yeah, totally. So yeah, 23rd of July, the Commonwealth Games kicks off in Glasgow, which is brilliant. And I think with all big public mass events or physical activity events like the Commonwealth Games or even the Football World Cup, which is this year as well, offers a possibility to inspire people to be more active because it's a topic of conversation. People are watching it. And so the question that we often pose is as people interested in public health and physical activity, getting people, general public, more active, how can we embrace that legacy? And so, I think that's what I'm interested in and hope that the Commonwealth Games can offer and particularly within healthcare, which is my real interest.
Yeah, so I mean, tell me just a bit more. What is the role, do you think, of physical activity, healthy living?
Yeah, look, I think the kind of the big headlines is that it has a huge role in prevention, and I think that's widely acknowledged. So it being more active decreases your mortality, your cardiovascular risk factors, your risk of stroke, type 2 diabetes, and you know a range of different cancers, bladder, breast, colon, endometrial, esophageal, amongst others. And it also has improved or results in decreased risk of depression and anxiety. So that's the preventative element. I think that's widely acknowledged. And then there's the treatment aspects as well. It can be widely adopted to improve or manage conditions. And so, you know, mental health is a good example of that. But I don't know if you came across the Challenge trial, which was published last year. That was probably one of the really kind of headline trials of last year from my perspective, which was a randomized control trial of people with colorectal cancer. And they included physical activity as part of the rehab of some of those patients, and people that had physical activity alongside chemotherapy and surgery had much better outcomes. And so, you know, that was kind of a real headline grabbing trial and really shows the role of physical activity in treatment as well as prevention of many conditions, not just colorectal cancer.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. I mean, I think it's really well known about prevention, especially from a cardiovascular point of view. But it's interesting for you to highlight those roles in rehabilitation, emphasizing mental health, because I think that's less well known. And we need to really acknowledge that. So obviously, we're GPs sitting in our consulting rooms. How do you think that we can actually support our patients to have an active lifestyle?
Yeah, well, look, I think GPs, we're fairly trusted individuals generally. We, you know, people kind of trust what we say. Maybe that's less than it has previously been, but it's still definitely the case. We're one of the most trusted people in society. Trust comes with responsibility. We've got to be careful about what we do say, but we're trusted. And we've got huge exposure as well. You know, I think across the UK, about a million appointments per day seen in primary care, which is which is, you know, kind of hard to get your head around, really. And so not only do we have exposure, not only are we trusted, but also from a physical activity perspective, we often see the people most that could benefit the most from being more active. And what do I mean by that? Well, you know, it's easy to get people that are active to be a bit more active, but actually the people that gain to benefit the most are the people that are least active. And so if you do nothing, the exponential gains of doing 10 minutes are really significant. If you do 150 minutes, if you do another 10 minutes, yes, you will benefit, but you'll benefit less than those that do nothing. And so in primary care, we see people that are often less active, and also people with long-term conditions. In Scotland, 50% of the population, of the adult population, have one or more long-term conditions. And we know that people with long-term conditions have got a lower level of physical activity. 56% of adults with long-term conditions meet the physical activity guidelines, compared to, you know, about two-thirds of the general population. Yeah. So yeah, we see people that need it the most, we're trusted, and we've got huge exposure. And added to that, there's pretty good evidence of the effectiveness of brief interventions. So you or I mentioning physical activity within conversation. And the WHO published a cost-benefit analysis, which showed that that it was cost-effective, and they've kind of flagged it as one of the best buys for physical activity promotion, is kind of promotion within primary care settings.
That's really interesting, because you've anticipated one of my questions. I was going to ask you actually about brief intervention. So there is evidence around that actually that makes a difference, which is really, really good. I mean, I work in a practice which is relatively deprived. People often, you would think that getting exercise in their situation may be difficult, not necessarily a priority. And people have this image that you have to go to the gym and run for long distances. So how do we approach the barriers and the challenges to encouraging people to have active lifestyles, do you think?
Yeah, Chris, it's a great question. And I suppose there's two ways to come at this. And the first of all is the individual level, which you've kind of alluded to. And then there's an institutional one, which I'll kind of come on to afterwards. But I think from an individual level, the first thing that's quite important is using the right language. And so I think things like exercise, the term exercise can be a bit intimidating to people. Joe, if you're not active, it might come with connotations of putting on Lycra and going to the gym. And both those things are not necessarily my cup of tea, and I'm sure they're not many others. And so using language, physical activity is what we often use in research. I think there's probably a movement towards movement as a terminology. I think just moving more is really great terminology. So I think being clear in the language we use, and then also trying to debunk a lot of the kind of connotations that people come with physical activity. It doesn't have to be in a gym. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't necessarily have to be structured. It might be gardening. It might be, you know, just having a dance to the radio or playing with your grandkids. And so I think, to be honest, Chris, the easiest way is when you have a relationship with a patient and you know what they care about, what they enjoy, and then you can kind of tailor it specifically to them. I think another big issue, Chris, from an individual perspective is the existence of long-term conditions. And I think a really clear one there is, for example, chronic pain. You know, I think people with pain are really worried about the fact that, you know, if I exercise or if I'm more active, if I move more, I just use the word exercise. I hate using that word. So yeah, sorry. but we all do it. If we move a bit more, will it not make the pain worse? That's a kind of a common worry or fear. And so we really have to speak into that. And so there's good evidence that one of the best treatment modalities for chronic pain is physical activity. And so if we can help guide a patient, if we can kind of present some of that whilst also acknowledging that there's maybe means which they can be more active. For example, swimming might be a really good modality if you've got osteoarthritis in your knees, because, or cycling, because it's non-weight bearing. So I think delivering kind of condition-specific tailored advice if we can, whilst also individually tailorizing it to their circumstances, their needs, and their interests.
That's really good because, again, tailoring it to the individual, and again, it's interesting what you say about chronic pain and just having a conversation with the patient. You're involved with the college UK level, and what has the college really got to offer?
Before I jump into that, Chris, and it's kind of a preclude to the answer to that question, but the one before, and I meant to talk about it, is the kind of the more institutional barriers as opposed to the individual barriers to promoting physical activity. And so probably the big one and the one that comes as no surprise is time. We operate in a really time-pressured environment. How and do we even have the time to talk about physical activity to patients? I think it's challenging. We've got to choose the right moments. We've got to choose the right patients to deliver that. And actually being brief while signposting is probably a really good thing to do. And using things that exist, using tools that have been created to try and help in these environments. And so that's part of the push from the Commonwealth Games, really, or wanting to push the legacy, is that actually we know that for 2 months during the middle of the summer, 23rd of July to the 2nd of August, lots of people are going to be watching physical activity and sport on the TV. And so if they do come in, maybe as you're walking down the corridor, you can say, have you been watching the Commonwealth Games, as an introduction into physical activity, and use that to maybe promote a local health walk or some of the local clubs that you might be aware of. So yeah, that's how I think something like a Commonwealth Games could be used in conversation, as kind of a conversation starter with a clear end goal or intention. In terms of what the college is doing, we're trying to break down lots of those barriers and address many of those challenges. So time being a big one. If you go onto the Royal College Physical Activity Hub, so RCGP Physical Activity, go on the hub, we've created some resources that might circumvent the time challenge. For example, posters that can go in the waiting room. We kind of point to We Are Undefeatable, which is a campaign which made some videos, which you could maybe play on the screen in the waiting room if you have one. So there's kind of and there's SMS templates as well that you could send to patients to invite them, for example, to a walking group that might be offered through the council or leisure providers locally. So there's resources on there to try and remove some of that pressure from the clinicians to deliver it. The kind of the big headline things that a lot of people might have heard of from the Royal College perspective is two initiatives that we run. And so the first is park run practices. So the concept of park run practices is to try and deliver some kind of physical activity offering. And it involves pairing a local GP practice or a GP practice with their local park run. And so that can happen in a load of ways. Really what we ask GP practice to do is advertise and talk about parkrun to patients and staff, and try and get them down and engage in that, whether that is walking, running, or volunteering. So posters, talking about it, having a parkrun practice notice board, and maybe even kind of at the top end is what we call a practice parkrun takeover. So the practice staff go to the parkrun and volunteer for 1 week a year, or maybe more often, to kind of have a voice and be seen and be present. So we in Aberfeldy, we've had a park run for just under a year now. And last month, so in March, we all rocked up and the kind of practice staff took over the park run. Well, I say that's probably a bit grandiose because there was still a lot of regular volunteers that were there as well telling us what to do. So couldn't have probably run without them, but we were present, we were visible. And then the other thing is the active practice charter, which is kind of a step up from the parkrun practice. So that involves promoting or showing that you are promoting physical activity to patients and staff, that you are addressing sedentary behaviour in patients and staff, and that you're partnered with a third-party physical activity provider. Why is that last part quite important? Well, we acknowledge that healthcare can't do this on their own. The time, the challenges are such that actually we can intermittently deliver brief consultations, but we need support of other physical activity providers, people that are kind of delivering this day in, day out. So Parkrun, Leisure Trust, Walking Scotland, for example, all these different groups. And so we want to get GPs to partner with those providers to kind of share the burden.
That's great. I mean, I think you can think about doing things like having an exercise week, or where you have a theme and use the resources and those types of things. And the Commonwealth Games is a great opportunity to focus on that. We sometimes do activities like that. Our practice is a practice park run. We all did it in Aberdeen at one point in the snow, but we got
great.
and I like the park run. And then there's, as you say, the next step, which is the active practice. So those are really good schemes to give us a bit of structure around that. So, you know, let's keep pushing those and available on the website there. I'm just thinking as well, we've got community link workers who are hopefully embedded in our practice as much as we can. You talked about third parties. And what do you see as the role of a community link worker, perhaps?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think the link workers offer a huge opportunity, and you know that there's kind of variation in how they're adopted geographically, and but as I see it from a physical activity perspective, hopefully they can kind of help carry that burden, as I discussed. And what do I mean by that? Well, look, as a clinician, what I'd love to be able to do is to deliver the brief advice to tell someone, actually, you know, with your condition, physical activity can be really beneficial. You know, there's lots of different ways it can be done. And actually finding the right way is really important, having the support to get there. We're quite time limited, but we've got this really great colleague who can help support you, find ways to be more active and guide you through that. Here's their number. And so that would be, or here's how to contact them, or I'll refer you to them. And that's how I'd love to see kind of physical activity, social prescribing working, or how it is working in some places. So yeah, that's kind of definitely a really important role that can be played.
Yeah, it's linking into that social prescribing part of it. And there's almost different levels here by the looks of things. As you say, there's a brief intervention, and then there's some people who might need a bit more support, but the benefits are really quite clear there. And are there any specific things you want to mention about Scotland from an activity point of view?
Yeah, I mean, Scotland's doing an amazing job, and you know, often I think it falls under the radar, but there's a couple of things. That there's a charity coalition called Movement for Health, which does exactly what it says on the tin. It's kind of was partnered with Walking Scotland. It's closely linked with Public Health Scotland, and their role is to try and promote physical activity in people living with long-term conditions. And so they acknowledge that there's lots of different ways to do that. We need a systems-based approach, but as part of that, they also acknowledge the importance of healthcare. And so on their website, they've got lots of resources to try and help clinicians to promote physical activity to patients. So they're definitely worth following on social media or jumping on their website and looking at some of those resources. So that's one. The other kind of things to be aware of in Scotland is you mentioned social prescribing. There's physical activity referral schemes available. And so you can refer in a more formal way to a physical activity referral scheme, which they, again, vary a bit, but are often kind of a weekly intervention for a number of weeks, often up to 8 to 12 weeks, which supports someone with a long-term condition to be more active. And Scotland developed a tiered model for physical activity promotion, and that is outlined really well in the national, the NHS physical activity pathway, so NPAP. So Public Health Scotland produced this pathway, which is trying to support clinicians, but also kind of physical activity workers, so people working in the leisure and fitness industry, to support people and support us to know how best to guide and direct people that want to be more active and to do that. So yeah, Movement for Health and the NHS physical activity pathway are two really great places to kind of look at, check out, and get a bit more information about that.
And where would you find information about the NHS physical pathway?
Yeah, that's on the Public Health Scotland website. So if you just were to, if you were to Google national NHS physical activity pathway, then you'll find it. It will pop up.
And some of this may be very, very relevant to general practice nurses who do a lot of reviews of the patients with long-term conditions.
I think that's a really, a really important point, and one that we often overlook is that nurses sometimes can be are experts at this and are often well placed to do it. And so, yeah, practice nurses, you know, are you know, super important to this conversation.
Absolutely. So I'm going to actually stop using the word exercise so much, actually, is one of the things I've learned from this. I've, you know, personally, I knew about the value of being more active, but I think you've brought into focus much more around the mental health and the rehabilitation and all the different aspects of it, Callum, and given us some good resources. I'm looking forward to the World Cup and the Commonwealth Games going forward, and trying to be as active as possible myself. So just to finally say thank you. Thank you very much for staying inside on a sunny day to talk to me about this. It's been really, really useful. Any last thoughts or anything else?
Oh, look, it's been a pleasure. One last parting thing, which is probably the most important thing I'll say, Chris, which is that the biggest facilitator of a healthcare professional speaking about physical activity to their patients is their own level of physical activity. So if you're going to do one thing, be inspired, put your trainers on and go out and be active. And that will have an impact on the care you deliver.
Thank you. That's really, really great. I appreciate talking to you, Cal. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Thank you for listening to Generally Speaking, the RCGP Scotland podcast. Be sure to follow us on social media to stay up to date with all of the work and news from across the college.